You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Fourth of July weekend again. How did that happen, Keith Alexander? It seems like it was just a couple of weeks ago we were playing Christmas music and all the stuff we do here on the December broadcast, but nevertheless, we are firmly and squarely midway through the year. July, here we are.
Time flies when you're having fun.
And it has been a very fun year of broadcasting, a very fast year of broadcasting. It's July the 2nd. And we will provide the fireworks for you, ladies and gentlemen, during this, our annual Independence Day extravaganza.
I'm finally feeling like celebrating after this last term of the Supreme Court. I'm not celebrating our government. Of course, they're our enemy. But I am surprised that the Supreme Court has come back, from the dead, basically, to actually enforce the Constitution as written.
Well, on a couple of cases anyway. We hope they'll get to even more fleshier cases. But it was nonetheless a lot of L's for the left this week. We'll recap that. We talked about it all last week, of course, and what a great show that was with Lauren Witzke. Got a lot of feedback to last week's show, which I'll share with the audience. Time doesn't permit me to do it right now, but we'll do it maybe at the top of the third hour. That's kind of what I'm looking at right now. But let me tell you what's coming up tonight on the 4th of July weekend broadcast. So we've got two folks tonight, two gentlemen, that are going to be making debut appearances on the broadcast. And then in the third hour, we're going to be featuring one of our regular contributors. Coming up here a little later this hour, we're going to have a retired police officer who is the plaintiff in a lawsuit to preserve and protect Confederate monuments in Alabama. So he's still preserving and protecting, Keith, just no longer the citizenry, but rather the monuments.
He's free to really protect now rather than trying to please a left-wing boss.
An attorney contacted me in Alabama and asked if I would have this gentleman on, and I was all too eager to do it. Had a great talk with both the attorney and the client here, and so we'll tell you their story here in just a little bit. In the second hour, Thomas Steuben, who is a contributing author and commentator for Countercurrents, will be making his debut on this program to reflect on the most important elements of American history. So we're going to be taking another look at the American experiment, and I think examining it from some angles that will be of interest to you, ladies and gentlemen. It's not your standard 4th of July spectacular, I can tell you that. We're going to be looking at it from angles that nobody else on the radio airwaves are going to be looking at. And then, did the immigration that occurred after the war between the states derail the American experiment, and can a nation survive without respect and honor being paid to its ancestors and land?
Well, that's the founding stock of America.
That's what you will be examining, Keith, in the third hour with, again, one of our regular contributors. So that's the show that we have planned. I think it's all timely. I think it's all germane to the holiday, as it were. And I will tell you, Keith, I've really become a fan of this broadcast. Our summer programming has really been turning up the heat, and it's hot enough out there. But I look back just over the month of June. So the month of June, we had, of course, Adrian Davis, dual interview between Sam Dixon and Charles Balsman, and then Mark Weber, all in the June the 4th broadcast. June 11th, Mike Painovich making his debut appearance on the program. On the 18th, you were there at the Trump rally and reported live from that out in the field. Last week, Lauren Witzke. We've got a lot left in the tank, I think. We've got a wonderful response to our second quarter fundraising drive. Again, more on that in the third segment. But I've got some more ideas. I want to do more of those autobiographical interviews make a little autobiographical series with some of our program mainstays. We did that with Kevin McDonald a couple of weeks ago, and then do some more TPC team-ups where we have some of our regular guests joining each other on the air and sort of talking to each other in conversation in sort of an interview format as Sam did with Bosman.
I think it's been a refreshing change that we actually had something positive to report on this summer. It looks like the wheels are falling off the cart to a certain extent with the left, and you know, there's reason to hope. Of course, there's also reason to be very dubious about the upcoming election, for example. But on the other hand, you know, we've had more positive information, more positive news developments over the past couple of months, and you know, we normally have it in a whole year.
Well, this is the thing, Keith. I made mention, a fleeting mention, to a scene in the movie Miracle. That's the movie that documents the American collegiate hockey team that had defeated in the Winter Olympics.
1980.
That was in Lake Placid, New York. They defeated the professional Soviet team that had never been beaten. And a bunch of kids did that. And there's one scene, and that's a true story, of course. And there's one scene, Kurt Russell plays the coach, Herb Brooks, in that film. And at the very end of the final game, of the championship game, the Americans are winning in the final moments. And that's, of course, a time in a hockey game in which the team that's behind would pull their goalie so they could have an extra skater on the ice. And the Russian team doesn't do that. And Kurt Russell is looking around astonished and says, they don't know what to do because they've never been in that position before where they were going to suffer a defeat. And I think that's where we're at with the left. Anybody that had any sort of discernment would say, look, we're going to lose this. What do we need to do to reform our ranks? But the left isn't doing that. They have actually turned it up a notch. Their level of
more cowbell,
right? More cowbells from Saturday Night Live. They're becoming more obnoxious than they were even prior to that.
And their discomfiture, doesn't it just warm your heart to see this? They are just predicting doom and gloom, and they don't know how to do it because they certainly don't want to compromise with the other side, and they think they're just going to be able to somehow plow through us again. You know, they may be down but not out, they think.
But when you're winning everything, when you're in control of everything, you need to be able to pump the brakes a little bit and kind of take stock over the situation, but they don't do that. They overreacted to Trump. That gave us BLM, which in turn radicalized the Republican base and is helping us now with where we are with all of the stuff we've been covering, these polls, these governors, these elected officials that are saying things now that you would have never heard them say before. We've covered that exhaustively. That is a result of their overreaction. They continue to overreact. It's only going to further polarize and alienate the citizenry, which we hope will lead to a balkanization. That was, again, something we talked about last week, a national divorce. That's what we need. There cannot be reconciliation with these people. We need to excise.
We know from experience that there's no living with them, and we've got to find some way to live without them because they just will not be fair. They insist on remaking us in their image. But one thing you've got to hand to Donald Trump, he has basically got the ball rolling on this. I think if he had not come down that escalator and started winning, I think that it would have been business as usual.
That's absolutely true. Whether it be by happenstance or whether by design, it doesn't change the fact that it all happened and that's the thing that kicked it off. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back next. Stay tuned.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Back, everybody. I've actually received several emails about that particular piece of bumper music, at least a handful over the last couple of weeks. People asking, I've never heard that rendition of When Johnny Comes Marching Home. Where'd you find it? I can't find that anywhere. Well, I'll tell you. I'll answer all of them at once. That is a piece of the movie score to the cinematic masterpiece Die Hard 3. Die Hard with a Vengeance, with Bruce Willis reclaiming his role as Detective John McCain, and one of the greatest actors, truly ever.
Unfortunate name for him.
Ever. Jeremy Irons. What a classic actor plays the villain in that. Simon Peter Gruber, who is Hans Gruber's brother from the original Die Hard, played by Alan Rickman. Anyway,
you really alarm me, though. In other words, Bruce Willis's character was named John McCain?
McClane.
Oh, okay. Well, thank goodness.
The fact that you didn't know that alarms me. Who doesn't know Die Hard and John McClane?
I've seen it, but I hadn't made a study of it like you.
That's all right. Well, you gotta do the deep dive. But so that appears in the, I believe, maybe perhaps the credit of the film or somewhere during the film, that particular. I remember watching that at my grandmother's house in the mid-90s, and that I've seen the movie several times, but I remember one time watching it at my grandmother's house. She was making me some, I was about 15 years old. This movie came out in the mid-90s. She was making me some country fried steak with this white gravy that she could do. Never tasted anything like that. She was the only one who could make it that way. I remember watching it. And for all of those years, that particular score stayed with me. And so now here it is again, reliving it. Speaking of my family, I actually had the opportunity to visit with two of my aunts earlier today, and including one that I had not seen in many years. And we had a really good visit. It was good to see them again. And they are actually tuned in tonight, Keith, from Oxford, Mississippi, where you went to school.
Yeah, to law school. That's right. And look, there's no, you can't replace family. You've got to keep those family ties, keep those fences mended, and keep staying in touch. So I'm glad you're doing that,
Jeff. Well, I wanted to say hello to them. And, of course, my father and parents are tuned in. I'm a big hit with the Edwards family. That's you know, you want your family to care about you. So anyway, here is the thing, going back to some of the things going on with the Supreme Court this term. So we spent almost the entirety of last week's show talking about the very historic overturning of Roe versus Wade, just how unprecedented and unfathomable that would have been to us to imagine.
And we hope
happening.
That's just the beginning, by the way. I hope that's not the end, but the beginning of something big for us.
And we also talked very briefly last week about gun rights being expanded by this current term in the Supreme Court. But that wasn't the only thing that happened. Those were the two biggest things. But there was a case, I believe it was in Washington State, with a coach praying with his team after a football game. And so they used that case to reinstall prayer.
There's also a good case about the authority of the EPA to enforce climate change regulations or to make up climate change regulations. That was stricken down by the Supreme Court. The only loss was that Biden gets to repeal the retain in Mexico policy that Trump enacted.
Well, but we talked about that.
And that's, you know, the border is probably the most important thing regarding our future. If they can swamp us with third worlders, you know, like we've always said, you can't have a first world nation with a third world population, and that's what they're intent upon doing.
Well, so that was one, but you mentioned the so-called climate change took one on the chin. Gun rights expanded, obviously Roe. Prayer in public school was upheld. Now prayer can once again be led by public school officials. Religious private schools can receive taxpayer funds. Louisiana's new election map was restored. So this actually, they're calling it gerrymandering, but you have another take on it, which is actually quite good. And this is a big defeat for Democrats in Louisiana.
Yeah, right. It's the Voting Rights Act of 65. In fact, the Republican Party in Texas made that a part of their platform, that they want to see that act repealed. That's where all of this gerrymandering to increase black participation in the government and whatnot came from. They, you know, they basically let them harvest ballots so they could get people out. They drew districts for Congress so that they would assure that a black congressman, for example, from Mississippi, would get in. And of course, we've got that stellar example, Benny Thompson, who is, you know, I mean, he's Uncle Remus without the wit and the charm. That's what we get from that. It's basically an attempt to assure that enemies of the founding stock of America are well represented in Congress and throughout the government. And that's why the Voting Rights Act of 65 is where we got all of that electoral fraud in the 2020 election. All those suspect ballots were funneled through black districts in Philadelphia, in Atlanta, and places like that.
Here's something from Putin that I think is somewhat on the lines, at least tangentially, to what we're talking about. This is a speech Putin recently gave, saying that he was expecting a change in the leadership of Western elites, as those who have led us into this ditch will eventually get replaced due to the staggering level of inflation and high energy prices. That's why some people are concerned, saying, well, overturning Roe versus Wade is going to motivate the left to come out and stop this supposed red wave that's coming. And I say, not so fast. Perhaps in a normal year, this would motivate them to turn out and higher than normal levels. But I don't think that Roe, especially several months from now when the election is held, is going to have enough staying power. It takes a lot of energy to stay perpetually irate like the left
does.
Well,
they seem to be able to do it.
but I don't
They've
think it's going to be
their
enough.
Panties in a wad.
I don't think it's going to be enough, Keith, to overcome $5 a gallon gas and $100 to fill a tank and grocery and food prices and the cost of living and inflation and everything. I don't think it's going to be enough to overturn that, which is always
sort of
the rudder that determines who wins and who loses.
Well, we're also whistling past the graveyard. They cheated in a presidential election. They had the chutzpah to do that in 2020, and it worked.
Well,
the Supreme Court wouldn't get involved. They took a feckless position. And if they're, you know, they know that they're on the cusp of losing out for about 12 years, one term of Trump, two terms of DeSantis. If we win, and of course, the first test of that is going to be this midterm election, and of course, the 2024 presidential election is really going to be key. And if they're cheating and if they get away with it again, I don't know what the reaction is going to be.
We're
going to hide and watch and see what happens.
I'm not that worried about that. I don't think that's going to happen. But back to Putin, such a detachment from reality, from the demands of society, will inevitably lead to a surge of populism and the growth of radical movements, to serious social and economic changes, to degradation, and in the near future, to a change of elites. That's powerful stuff, and he would know, I think. And so,
well, he has Alexander Dugin is one of his close advisors on the world scene, and particularly the West. And Alexander Dugin had a great article that was reviewed by Kevin MacDonald of Occidental Observer this week about his take about what's going on in America right now, particularly with Roe versus Wade. I would recommend anybody to check Occidental Observer over the past week and look for the article regarding Alexander Dugin.
Now, don't forget also, ladies and gentlemen, just to show you how far the Republican base has gone, and we made mention of this last week, but if you missed last week's show, or even if you heard it, it's not going to hurt you to hear it again. The state Republican Party of Texas, the biggest Republican state in the union, has voted to put secession on the ballot in 2023.
And the repeal of the Voting Rights Act of 65.
Now, that is about as... look, I don't think we could have authored any resolutions that were any stouter than that.
As they say down here in the South, that's strong as Garrett Snuff. I tell you what, I really love to see that. That is That's the type of courage that we've been waiting for the Republican Party to show us for decades now.
And this goes back to what Mike Painovich told us, and of course we knew this and we agree with it, but he put it in a succinct way that I think is worth repeating as well. When you see state Republican parties doing this, or when you see Republican leaders or high-ranking elected officials like Ron DeSantis saying things like we would say it, pat yourself on the back because you're the reason that that happened. Without us, without that force, without that pressure within the base, these people would suffer atrophy and
somebody
fall
is
back
listening.
Into being.
Somebody's listening to this show and others like it.
Well, whatever is going on, I mean, we've played a role in it, I think, maybe a small role, who's to say, but the base is seen. Look, the base is seen, and I think in a lot of ways, Trump gave them the courage to stand up and to speak out. Even if he was or wasn't all that we wanted him to be, he never apologized for these feelings of the media, and he really eviscerated the media's role as a gatekeeper. And now what we're seeing, Putin just said it. Putin just said it, Keith. Putin's exacted what's going on here, a surge of populism and the growth of radical movements because the elites of this country have been so far detached from reality.
Well, the thing is, they've done such a poor job. And, you know, if you look at Trump, the president, he was a disappointment. If you look at Trump's positions and his planks that he took in his election, he's right on. He just needs to find the right people to put into the government the next time. And let's hope that that is actually what's going to happen.
Whether it be Trump or somebody else, we need to hope that that's what's happened. But I've always maintained, folks, you hear me say it on a near weekly basis, this thing will turn.
And we know the way out of the forest.
Got to take a break. We're going to get to retired police officer Ralph Long in Alabama. We're going to hear his current fight and how we can help. Stay tuned. We're just getting started.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A third police officer has died after a shootout in eastern Kentucky. Floyd County Sheriff John Hunt says deputies were attempting to serve a warrant in the town of Allen when the shooting happened Thursday night. On Friday morning, authorities announced that two officers had died in the shooting and a third was in critical condition. A police spokesman then announcing the third officer died of his injuries Friday night. Four other officers were also injured. The suspect has been taken into custody. Millions of Americans are hitting the roads and airports this 4th of July weekend. AAA expecting nearly 48 million people to travel 50 miles or more over the holiday. That's up 4% from last year. If you're traveling by car, the latest AAA station survey showing the national average price for a gallon of regular gas, $4.82 a gallon. USA Radio News.
You ever make a change and then think, why didn't I do this years ago? Well, that's how people feel about switching to MediShare for their health care, especially now with inflation the way it is. People are very happy with the savings. Most families save about $500 a month when they switch. It's a huge help when prices are going up so fast in so many other areas. And MediShare's customer satisfaction rate is double that of health insurance. It's just a different experience, and people really like that. MediShare is an alternative to health insurance. It's a community of Christians who share each other's health care bills, and it's been going strong for over 25 years. It really is the gold standard, the most trusted name in health care sharing. Find out why people love it. Find out why they rave about the customer service and find out how good it feels to save some money right now. They're super easy to talk to. Here's the number, 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
One state is taking action after a recent Supreme Court ruling.
Disrespecting a Supreme Court of the United States decision, New York State lawmakers, at the instruction of temporary governor and lieutenant governor, Democrat Kathy Hochul on Friday did it again. In defiance of the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, Democrats passed gun legislation that would severely limit where law-abiding citizens can have possession of their weapon and require background checks to buy ammunition.
We are creating a definitive list of sensitive locations where individuals will not be able to carry firearms.
One such location is New York City's Times Square. Republican Assemblyman Andy Cadell said the legislation ignores the High Court's ruling and is more restrictive than the bill that was struck down by the Supreme Court this week. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden spending their holiday weekend at Camp David. USA Radio News.
It is our annual Independence Day broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to TPC. James Edwards and Keith Alexander with you as we introduce to you the first of three commentators tonight. Making his debut appearance as a guest is Ralph Long, a retired police officer and current plaintiff in a lawsuit to preserve and protect Confederate monuments. Ralph is actually suing the governments of Lauderdale County, Alabama, and the city of Florence, Alabama, from removing the Lauderdale County Confederate Monument from the courthouse grounds in violation of Alabama's Memorial Protection Act. And to tell us more about that and how we can get involved is Ralph Long. Ralph, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, James. It's my pleasure to be with you.
Well, I had the opportunity to speak.
Yeah.
Yes, I was just going to say very quickly, an attorney, not actually the attorney representing you in this case, but another attorney who had a concerned interest in this shared concern of ours, contacted me and asked to have you on, and had a wonderful talk with him and also a wonderful talk with you on the phone just a day or two ago. So by all means, take the floor and tell us the who, what, where, when, and why, what's going on, what your involvement is in it, and how it all happened.
Okay. I'll take everybody back to May 25th of 2020, and that was the day George Floyd died in police custody in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And Florence, Alabama is my hometown. Grew up here, except from when I went to law school and served as a police officer. I lived here. This is my home. It's a sleepy college town. There's TVA here. We're on the banks of the Tennessee River, and we missed all the rioting and the trouble that other cities were having with the rioting, you know, in the big cities. But we discovered, or I did, by reading an article in the Courier Journal, which is our local weekly paper, that there was a group that was tormenting the city council and the county commission, demanding removal of the Confederate monument in response to Floyd's death. And one of the members of the Republican Executive Committee is a fellow named Danny Pettis. He's actually the chairman of the county commission. He had given permission to the city of Florence to come get the monument and carry it away to the city cemetery. And I called Josh Dodd, who's our county executive committee chairman, said, "What's going on with Danny? Doesn't he know that's against the law?" And as it turned out, Danny claims he did not know that was against the law. But we held an emergency meeting of the Lauderdale County Republican Executive Committee and passed a resolution unanimously objecting to the removal of the monument and calling on the city fathers and the county commission to stop what they were doing.
Ralph, this is Keith Alexander. Danny Pettis sounds like the typical spineless normie Republican that we have to deal with here in the South, people that will not stand up for their base. Tell me about Danny Pettis, and how did he get to be an advocate for the George Floyd faction of the national debate on law enforcement and Confederate monuments?
Danny is just a hometown boy. He's nominally a Christian, but Danny has never faced anything really tough. He doesn't really run the county commission. There's a lady here who's the county administrator. Her name is Brenda Bryant, and Brenda pretty much tells him what to do. In fact, some of the people, this Black Lives Matter light group we have here is called Project Say Something. A number of the judges' wives, different county officials' children are in Project Say Something. So it's kind of a woke movement of the elite of our county. And Danny just caves under pressure. He's he was a plumber before he was the chairman of the county commission. And he's a decent guy, but he just doesn't have the moral courage to stand up. These folks Project Say Something. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, Ralph, shouldn't it all be a moot point, state of his backbone notwithstanding? Tell us about the Alabama Protection Act, and if it says you can't remove these monuments, how's this even in question, and why does it take a lawsuit now to uphold what the law already says?
Well, this is sort of the history of the monument protection movement in Alabama. The guy who's behind the scenes wanting to carry our monument off is Senator Tim Melson. He voted for the Memorial Protection Act. And what it does, it says that any historical monument that's been in place for 40 years or more and it's on public property, it cannot be moved for any reason. There is no exceptions. There's no committee you can go to get an exception. But everywhere, the only penalty in the law is a $25,000 fine. The city of Birmingham and Huntsville, they whisk away their monuments, and then through taxpayer money or through secret donations from Black Lives Matter or Project Say Something or rich donors who are embarrassed about Southern history, that fine is paid secretly to the attorney general. Our attorney general could actually do what we're doing, but Steve Marshall waits till the monuments disappear. Then he assesses the $25,000 fine and tells them to pay. And that's
why are they so afraid of black power, Ralph? It just, you know, all the they seem to be just supine. They want to bend the knee to the left, and particularly anything that has to do with blacks. If blacks want it, then all of these Republican legislators and government officials want to rubber stamp it. It's just amazing that they don't feel like they have anything to fear from their base.
Well, and that's true. I want to tell you a short aside. Our attorney, and the local attorney, is a fellow named Maurice McCain. He's a black man. He's the last conservative black on the Lauderdale County Republican Executive Committee. In fact, the Rhinos are trying to vote him off of the committee, though he was elected by popular vote. When I went to him to ask him about taking our case, he said, Ralph, he said, I think I should. But he says, my father is a minister, and he runs a Christian school here that serves white, black, Hispanic children who are not people of means. And he said, I know it will affect our ministry, so I'm going to ask my dad. And I said, well, I want you to do that. James McCain is the reverend's name. I have great respect for him. The next day, Maurice came back, and he said, I talked to my dad. You know what he said? And I said, I certainly do. He said, when I went to my dad, he says, Maurice, he said, this is not about slavery or racism or even the Confederacy. He said, this is about the fight of Western Judeo-Christianity's fight against tyranny. He said, if we don't stand with these folks, he said, when they come to take the cross off of our church because it offends people, he said, there'll be nobody to stand with us. And I thought, man, I wish I'd have said that.
But well, it sounds like he's cut from the same cloth as Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, you know, you told me that story. You told me that story, Ralph, and we will take help wherever we can get it. It is certainly a rarity, but it is a welcomed one, and I would say it's certainly a Christian. Christians certainly have a case in this. So people would be asking why this case? You know, this is not unusual. There have been so many monuments that have been taken down and moved,
particularly
or destroyed
in our hometown of Memphis.
Yeah, so we're well aware of it. Hundreds of cases. Why are we focusing on this one? And I would answer to you, it's because somebody asked us to. We got a call
found somebody with enough gumption to just absolutely take on the establishment.
Well, and not only that, but they asked to come on this program. So certainly I wanted to make time for it, and I wanted to make time for it on this particular broadcast. So we're coming up to a break. Now, we're certainly going to get some contact information from Ralph and how we can play a part in what we hope will be a positive resolution to this situation. But I guess, obviously, Ralph, it goes without saying, if you lose your case, the monument gets moved or whatever is going to happen to it. But if you win, what is the best case scenario? I think we can imagine the worst case scenario. What is the best case scenario? What does the judge need to find in order for you to claim victory? What are you hoping for?
What we've asked for is that the judge would enjoin the county and the city from moving the monument, and they have to uphold the law and protect the monument as it was given to them in trust. And that's all we're asking, that they follow the law.
If they don't follow the law, then they would be in contempt of court.
Do you have any hope that they will follow the law? Because it is a long shot for the courts to follow the law if it favors dissidents or if it favors our side, especially in a Confederate-related suit. So it would look, the law may be ironclad on your side. That doesn't mean you have a slam-dunk case.
That's correct. And the reason that we brought this case is this is our monument. We're taxpayers in this county and in plaintiff's Ray Stiles is a city resident, and we say it's wasting taxpayer money to be involved in this, you know, effort to break the law. And it doesn't matter who's tempting them with outside money to break the law. It's in New York, they'd call that corruption. If government officials were paid private money to break the law, it's obvious corruption. Of course, they deny that that's what they're doing. But they said it's not theirs and they don't want it, but they will not even retract Danny Pettis's letter saying that the city can come and get the monument. So we believe they're up to skullduggery. They've even poured a concrete pad in the city cemetery. We discovered through a police informant who told us that's what they were doing. We went out and took pictures and showed it to the judge.
So that's where they want to move surprised. It to.
That, yeah. Well, you know, back just back
yeah, Ralph, what? Cemetery.
Ralph, you go first. This is where they want to move it from the county courthouse to the back part of a cemetery.
That's correct. And it'll be out of sight. It won't be long. Somebody will deface it or, pull it down, damage it. But it's the whole idea of the monument is to put it in the public view, memorialize the sacrifices that people have fought for our liberty.
All right, we're going to take a break. You know the situation now. We're going to find out the timeline when this may be decided and what we can do to help in the meantime and how our help will be of service to the greater cause. James Edwards, Keith Alexander, and our special guest, retired police officer Ralph Long, suing the county of Lauderdale and the city of Florence in Alabama.
American Freedom News is your daily one-stop website that will keep you fully informed. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of the big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as it provides truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first and in the historic American nation. Many Americans are finally waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America and Western civilization can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
This is a battle. A battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
Welcome back, one and all, with Ralph Long, retired police officer, fighting this battle to preserve Confederate monuments there in northern Alabama. So I asked the rhetorical question, why of all the monuments that have been defaced and taken down and destroyed, why are we focusing on this one with such time on this broadcast? And it's because someone asked us to.
And furthermore, we've got somebody that's really got some tiger in their tank to fight it. This seems to be falling, Ralph, into a pattern that we've seen often before a small group of elites that think that they know better and think that they have a charter to go in and remake society and our culture have decided they're for removing this statue. That's what we ran into in Memphis with Nathan Bedford Forrest statue and Jefferson Davis's statue. And they moved in the middle of the night to do it, and then they basically had the judiciary in their pocket. And when all was said and done, more was said than done. Hopefully, you've got a different situation down there in Florence.
Well, that's the thing about it, too. I mean, we had state laws that protected the parks here, and they can always find ways to either circumvent them or just not abide by them
at
all.
It's an elite conspiracy against the common man, basically.
Well, Ralph, we cut our teeth many years ago fighting these battles on behalf of Confederate monuments, as Keith just said, and Confederate-named parks and things like that. So it's near and dear to our heart, part of the very fabric of this broadcast going back to its inception and its founding DNA. But continue on with your story, my friend, and I want to share something with both you and Keith and the entire audience before we close this segment. When should this be decided, and what can we do to help in the interim?
Well, the thing that's hopeful about this is all the other monuments fell within a six-month period. We've been in this fight this last week for 2 years. The judge issued a stay, which is not what we asked for, but it's prevented them from coming in and taking the monument down. One thing people can do to help is to send money. It's expensive to do depositions and have transcriptions done. And we've gone to the SCV. Unfortunately, the Alabama division of the SCV, their legal staff thinks it's a violation of their 501c3 tax exempt status to get involved in this fight. And we disagree with them because that's the primary mission of the SCV is to protect Confederate heritage. It's not
now,
a political
I gotta tell you,
matter.
Ralph.
We're not asking them to. Yeah,
I'm sorry, but that's par for the course, unfortunately.
The SCV is MIA, missing in action.
I am a son of a Confederate veteran, but not of the Sons of Confederate Veterans, if you know what I mean. And there are some great people in that organization. We know Gene Andrews, the former leader of the Tennessee Division. There are some great people there, but there are also some maddening people there.
Yeah. Well,
I wish they had your pluck.
Just had success. We also were aware of a poll that was done in 2020. In Lauderdale County, but it says that 65% of the residents, without regard to their race or political party, are for leaving the monument where it is, that it should stay in place. That's
sure.
2-1 against it. So there's some.
Well,
some
I know that you would think that would do it, but the elite seem to, they outvote us. One elite is worth,
they know better than us. They're doing this for our own good.
Exactly. You saw that in the Mississippi flag referendum back in the early 2000s. Of course, that didn't stop them from taking it down either, at least eventually. But I want to read something, if I could, Ralph, and then I want to give you all the time you need to give us the contact information. I'm going to be sending a contribution to this cause. As I say to people all the time on this program, we don't allow anyone to come on here and ask our audience to make a contribution that we ourselves are not willing to give and to give first. So if I have somebody on here that I allow to make a pitch for contributions, it's something that I will be contributing to or that I already have contributed to. And so that's what we're going to be doing here in just a moment. So I want to get the information for my own self so I can pitch in on this. But this comes from Michael Perutka. And I think it's I really wanted to read this with you, Ralph, with this being the 4th of July weekend. And Michael Perutka had written years ago. He's an attorney in Maryland who ran for president under the Constitution Party banner some years back. He writes that the 4th of July is always a sad time for him because of the historical proximity to the defeat of our American forces at Gettysburg. And I like how he puts it, our American forces at Gettysburg who were defeated. On the 4th of July, 1863, after 3 days of brutal and desperate fighting to defend and preserve an American way of life, American soldiers retreated in the rain through Frederick, Maryland, and slipped back across the Potomac River to the relative safety of Virginia. I wonder what Independence Day thoughts went through the minds of these men as they marched away from that horrific scene, where they and their brethren had sacrificed life and limb for the cause of American independence. What singular faith and courage led them to continue the struggle to defend America from the growing tyrant? Though most people living in America don't realize it, the Army of Northern Virginia was the last force capable of countermanding the centralized tyranny that had succeeded in undermining the concept of constitutional republic. When Lee lost at Gettysburg, no earthly force remained that could stand against the Washington Leviathan. This growing monster would eventually murder 50 million innocent American babies, would send our daughters and sisters, along with our sons and brothers, off to die and needlessly. stupid wars to satisfy its lust for blood and power. It would undermine fatherhood and our families and seek dominion over our children. It would stare at us from every street corner with its cyclops eye to make sure that we had our seatbelt buckled, would number and monitor us, and would drug our children to make sure they grow up without any idea of what liberty means or any knowledge of the true source of law and liberty and government. Most people in America wouldn't understand. In large measure, this is because most people in America have been led to think that America won that war. But the evidence is more and more clear to me that America and our Constitution lost that war. And certainly we believe that and we agree with that. And Ralph, to preserve the memory of our Confederate forebears is always a cause worth fighting for. And I just wanted to read that and on the tail end of it, thank you personally and publicly for the fight that you're engaged with.
And there's no shame in supporting the Confederacy. The Confederacy was right. The Confederacy followed the old Constitution. America was changed for the worse by the Union victory in the Civil War.
And you're fighting it in your corner of Alabama. That's actually one of the things that are said, that the Confederates were fighting to preserve the Union's Constitution. Well, anyway, Ralph, we got about 5 minutes left. Tell us what more you can tell us that we haven't already covered, and of course, how we can contribute.
And keep us posted.
All right. I wanted to share a couple of things that have been on my mind, and of course, there are black people here who share our sentiment because they are for real history. But people that think it's about racism, they need to understand that if abolition of slavery was the motivation for the North going to war, you got to ask, why was slavery legal in the Union states of New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, West Virginia, Kentucky, and Missouri until December of 1865, and that was 8 months after Lee surrendered. So if it was against the war on slavery, they should have abolished it there first. And, of course, West Virginia entered the Union in 1863 as a slave state. So there's got to be something else going on here, and I just ask that people who are not informed read about it and find out what's going on.
Well, we need to do everything we can to explode the myth that the Civil War was about slavery. It was not. People conveniently forget the Corwin Amendment and the Morrell Tariff, which basically the Corwin Amendment was going to enshrine as the 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution the right of slaveholding.
Well, you know, look, it played a role. It was made to play a bigger role, obviously, as the war went on with 1863. And a very real chance that the Union could have lost that war and Lincoln using it for political purposes. Look, that's a mixed bag. That's not what we're here to talk about right now. But with 2 minutes remaining, Ralph, please do give us the contact information. How can we send contributions to help you in this fight? Who do they need to be made payable to, et cetera, et cetera?
They would make the check payable to Maurice, M-A-U-R-I-C-E, McCaney, M-C-C-A-N-E-Y, Attorney at Law, 506 East Tuscaloosa Street, Florence, Alabama, 35630. And the check should be marked Eternal Vigil Fund. Eternal Vigil is the local name of the Confederate monument. It's a statue of a Confederate soldier on guard. So he's Eternal Vigil is his name.
Let me read this back.
Trust fund. Okay.
Maurice McCaney, 506 East Tuscaloosa Street, Florence, Alabama. Make checks payable, or rather make checks payable to Maurice McCaney, but put in the memo Eternal Vigil Fund. Correct?
Eternal Vigil Fund, and he's got a trust account for that.
Well, I will be putting one in the mail, I guess, on Tuesday, because Monday's a federal holiday.
You can put it in tonight, but it ain't going to go out until Tuesday.
That's for sure.
That's our good old efficient federal government at work.
Well, I got an email, like I said, some months ago from an attorney in Alabama who is a friend of a longtime mainstay guest on this program, and he made mention to me and informed me about Mr. Long here, our guest, and his case, and I said, yes, we will have you on, and it took us a little while to get it scheduled, but I am thankful, Ralph, for men like you who are fighting out there against long odds going through the system's courts to do what they can. Look, if everybody fought, if we threw the kitchen sink at this, if everybody put forth an effort, it'd be a lot harder for them to spend their ordinance on that many people. It's easy for them to take out single targets, but we need more people doing what you're doing, and that's putting your money and your time and your efforts where your mouth is. And, of course, you serving the state and the citizenry as a police officer now doing this. Really admire it and really really excited to have had the opportunity to talk to you tonight and take this fight. This is, look, we can't fight every Confederate monument battle, but we can fight this one, right?
Yeah. Well, I have two ancestors that are important to me. I discovered them when I became interested in this. One is my great-great-grandfather, Alfred Wainscott, a private in the 24th Alabama. He joined after his 16th birthday and turned 20 walking home from North Carolina when the Army of Tennessee surrendered. And my great-great-great uncle, Sam Long, was buried at Elmira Cemetery in New York. He died in prison 3 days before leaving.
Well, God bless them, and that's a heritage that you should be very proud of. I thought I was the only one who descended from a Confederate private.
I did, too.
I know there's one more now. All right. Well, Ralph, God bless you, my friend. Enjoy the holiday weekend, and do keep us posted on this case. And we hope to have you back to celebrate a victory on the air. Godspeed to you.
Thank you, sir.
Thomas Steuben of Countercurrents is up next as we really sink our teeth into this holiday weekend broadcast. I'm going to take you to places where no other broadcast will. Stay tuned.
The spirit of the American